This is Insecticon Bob. He's doing very well indeed. That's because Insecticon Bob listens to TFYLP weekly. And Insecticon Bob loves Transformers, as does his missus. You can get TFYLP by downloading from iTunes today. Do not listen to TFYLP if instructed to do so by Chuck Norris. Do not place a listening device into the anus, as choking may occur. Please contact a physician if an erection for TFYLP lasts longer than 4 hours. TFYLP is sponsored by CapturedPrey.com. Great toys, great prices, great service. Visit www.CapturedPrey.com for all your import, Transformers, and third-party figure needs. And save even more through the Captured Prey Loyalty Program. CapturedPrey.com. Mega Toy Fan. Look for Mega Toy Fan at popular toy conventions like BotCon and TFCon, as well as on Facebook at facebook.com/mega.toyfan.
Between evil and good, from the stars that came here to earth, caught in their struggle through the whole universe, robotic warriors.
Deceptor here. Welcome to Transformers for your listening pleasure, TFYLP for short. Join us and discuss the latest in Transformers fandom. And now, without further ado, here is Weird Wolf. Now, where did I put that chorus stop? Ratchet, can you take the chorus up?
We are live. TFYLP episode 128. I am your host, Megamus. With me tonight is Plasticon.
How's it going, guys? I survived.
Yeah, he did. Proto Man.
Yep.
Brycey.
How's it going?
And Massey. I mean, Headmaster Don.
Headmaster Don. Hey,
the Cat Man. Not to be mistaken with the Scat Man.
That's right. Tonight, we're going to talk about TFCon, the aftermath, what our thoughts were, everything, how many times we were reminded of Massey, everything. I mean, you name it. We're going to talk about it. For those who don't know, TFCon had their first show in the United States. In Chicago last weekend. And for a little bit of insight, I thought we'd go with Proto Man. What were your thoughts on the show?
In all honesty, like before...
No, lie to me. I like it.
Before even starting the show, I wouldn't have been able to tell you if it would have been... Well, from a financial standpoint, it was successful before it even started. But from a attendance, from how well it would run... I had no idea because we were short-staffed in a foreign land, far, far away from home with no idea of what we were going to deal with a foreign currency.
See, now you know how I feel every time I go up there.
Yeah, but you're not running a whole convention. You're running
you're
an
right.
Table.
You're right.
So it was, you know, we didn't know what we were going to expect, but it ran super smooth and – I think even more so what was crazy was the registration for this show was a lot larger than that of Toronto, but man, did it fly. Like we just had a system that just, I think it took less than 30 minutes to do everybody. Like it was pretty crazy. Like, and we're talking exclusives, premium packages, the whole deal. And I was impressed. I was really impressed. The turnout was, again, turnout was bigger than Toronto.
Well, you know, how it is. We Americans, we like to spend money.
Yeah, well, I mean, part of the reason why we even chose Chicago to begin with was just the dense population and the conventions that already exist there to begin with, knowing how the traffic is with those. Talking with the dealers who ran C2E2 and the Wizard World convention that also happens there, and just being able to know, well, how do you guys do? What's the kind of crowds that have there? Like, so many people asked, like, why do you do Chicago? And there was like a million reasons. Like, everything had to line up, and that was just one of the many reasons. We knew right away that, at least from a financial level, that the convention would be successful before it even started, because dealer tables were sold out and everything was good to go. And I know a lot of artists had commissions that were already predetermined, so everyone was happy before even the door opened. But it was when the show itself started and everyone starts pouring in does when the real challenge begins.
Well, I'm gonna make a statement that's, I mean, it's kind of obvious, but don't you think that the simple name of TFCon definitely helped to have the attendance there? People knew the reputation.
I agree with that, because between I'd have to say 2007 and now, there has been a lot of, and I'll use air quotes, independent Transformer conventions that have come about in the United States. There hasn't been any at all in the in Canada that have really shown up. But the United States, I mean, I could just name a few: TF Expo, Shardacon, Slagacon, DairyCon. There's been a lot that have been around. DairyCon being probably just as old as TFCon. They actually came out around the same time as us, and I give respect to them for their work. But it's just, I think that even though we've been around just as long as a lot of the others of these independent shows, a lot have disappeared, a lot have bankrupt themselves, a lot have just given up. But us, because of how smart we were, and I always have to emphasize this, and I said this to Brett too, is that we've always been on both sides of the coin, where we were the guys who were always going to BotCon every year while running a convention at the same time. And when you do BotCon and then run TFCon, and you do that every year, not just like, oh, I've only gone to BotCon once. When you've gone to BotCon every single year while doing a TFCon every single year that you've gone to a BotCon, you see what doesn't work from an attendance standpoint and try to rectify that with your own convention and make sure that that isn't present, whether it be a wristband or some, you know, drama that always happens at the other show. And I love BotCon, but it's just there's stuff that doesn't work with them that we try to make sure is never a presence in our show. And I think that from all the good word of mouth that has existed in Toronto, running it all of these years now, 13 years, it's amazing when you think about it, all of these 13 years running the convention, you kind of get a good reputation that you could bring it anywhere. And I mean, I think it really exploded in 2008 when a lot of Americans started hearing about the show. Again, you know, post-Bay movie, Americans started coming to the show and started realizing, wow, this is really big for something that's really ran by a bunch of fans. And any angle we could play that would get people's attention, we went with, you know, emphasis on the third party, having our own fiction within our own, you know, TFCon universe, if you want to call it that, emphasis on script reading, guests, all kinds of stuff that work well with the big BotCon convention. But being more lax, you know, less rules, less problems. I think the only complaint we've ever gotten in recent has just been the charging for voice actors and the autographs. But even that's something that I have addressed many times, and the logic behind it and why we're able to have that many guests, that many top-tier guests, and still be able to have low ticket price admission and all kinds of stuff where it's still affordable for everyone. Right. And I could go on for on and on.
Well, I'm kind of curious. I just wanted to make a little side note to the comment you made. Seeing as you said that you could – No. You said that you felt that you could run that anywhere. And what do you think about doing overseas? What do you think about the other members and those that are wanting to have their own convention? What do you think about that?
Well, the thing is, when it comes to location, that's always key. I mean, if you just use BotCon as a reflection, their Ohio show, while they intended it to be, you know, hey, it's, you know, it's near Hasbro's head office and stuff, not exactly the best attendance. So you kind of have to go to places that have really good attendance. I mean, I wouldn't just do it anyway. I wouldn't go to Plattsburgh or, you know, a really small town in the United States, because that would just be silly. Hell, even in Canada, the second biggest city in all of Canada is Montreal. And I wouldn't run a TFCon in Montreal because the market doesn't doesn't match what it is. Like, even a place like Montreal that's very francophone and French just wouldn't be right to do a convention there. It's the same thing if you would do a convention in, say, Tokyo. Yeah, of course it would do well, but then how do you get all of TFCon staff and all its merchandise to Tokyo? So there's a lot of decisions and a lot of things that are considered before we even think about, like, where we move the convention. Chicago, 8 hours away by a drive from Toronto. We had a lot of guys that lived near Chicago or in Chicago that if we needed to send merchandise, because the big issue too is crossing the border. And if you're able to send, you know, cases and cases of third-party products and prototypes and stuff to individuals who lived near Chicago to do us a solid, you know, hey, we're going to be sending you all these prototypes and all this stuff, because that way we don't have to cross the border with it, because, you know, they can be a little, it can be a little bothersome when you try to cross the border. And that's all it takes. All it takes is for an entire van of TFCon staff members to get flagged at the border and sent back. There goes the weekend. It'd be a disaster. And that's the big risk that comes with running a convention across the border, is stuff like that. So you have to cover all your bases. You have to make sure everyone's crossing the border, has their papers, and isn't really carrying much outside of some extra underwear and socks. You know, it's just one of those.
Unless I'm not knowledgeable in all the conventions and everything, but I'm pretty sure you're one of the first conventions to cross borders.
We are.
To another country to run a show.
Well,
and for that, I congratulate you.
I don't know exactly who was running BotCon Japan back in 1998, but I don't think it was the same crew of guys like the Hartmans back then. I think it was more just their name going over there. I will say it is the first time ever a convention has crossed borders and was run exactly by the same core of people. Like, you know, you could have like a San Diego Comic Con, like, crew of people, but they'll never, like, go to Canada and run a convention there too. The same, you know, staff. So that's definitely the first time I've heard of that. Where I have heard of, like, the license of a convention, like a Penny Arcade or PAX.
But right, but that's not the same thing. Yeah, that's definitely not the same thing.
Yeah.
So
that's the first time I will agree. That's probably the first time.
Let me see here. So if my tally is correct, everyone on the cast tonight went to the show except for one guy who is from Canada. Is that correct?
Yeah, show it.
Okay. I just, you know, I was just getting that out of the way. So, excluding Brycey, who would like to recant their experience at TFCon Chicago? And don't all jump up at once. So I'll just say, Plasticon, you go ahead. Or is he dead?
He's dead.
He's dead. Okay, then we go to Headmaster Don. That's what I meant. That's who I was going to say first. I was going to say you anyway.
Yeah, sure. well, this was my first not BotCon convention in many years, mainly just because I only get basically – I've got vacation time with my company is, you know, always hard to get, so especially at this time of the year. But it had the old school BotCon feel, pre-Fun Pub. I'm not saying the Fun Pub is a bad thing. I'm just saying, but when the Hartmans was running it, it was a completely different feel from the Fun Pub. It's just the nature of the beast. Running something that big, I enjoyed it a lot. And the Alan Oppenheimer panel was wonderful. I had a lot of fun with James, even though I'm not reading IDW. The James Roberts panel was interesting, and I got some of my own personal writing questions answered. Dealer's Room had a great variety of people. The one thing I did miss at TFCon that we're used to having at BotCon was the room-to-room trading board. Personally, that was something that I thought was,
that's
you know,
something That's something we have to fix, because I was informed before, because that's something in Toronto that exists. It's a staple of Toronto. And I found it very – I think the reason why it didn't happen was because of all the craziness that was going on in the hotel lobby with all of – because I'm surprised that didn't happen.
Yeah.
That that wasn't – because we've had that since 2003.
Yeah.
Like, that is also a staple. Yeah, and yet this, but I guess maybe because the show was so nuts and there was those, I mean, for people that are listening, there was literally like three other conventions going on. And I don't want to say anything negative towards TFCon, but man, there was a lot of other shit going on that same weekend.
Yeah, again, that's minor, but it's something that you kind of expect at these shows. And it's just something that would have made my life a little bit easier with all that I had going on. But I'm going to give a shout out right now. Brad Russell has been a longtime fixture at BotCon, and he was there this year for TFCon. I don't know if he's been to the Canadian TFCons or not. I'm not sure on that. But Brad gave up space on his shelves. As many of y'all probably know, we lost JD Church on Radio Free Cybertron back in February. And his wife, Amanda, sent Brian and myself a lot of his stuff to try to sell. And Brad was nice enough to give a space off his table to sell stuff for JD's family. So I'm going to give a big shout out to Brad. Thank you for doing that as well. We appreciate it. But the only reason I brought up the room-to-room board is because I was trying to sell as much JD stuff as possible to avoid fees and like that. You know how that goes.
Oh, I know. I know. Trust me, as a Canadian, it's even worse on eBay.
Exactly. So I had a lot of fun. I've bought less at TFCon personally than I've bought in a long time, but that's just because I've got so much crap already. But the dealer's room was well laid out. It was crowded, but it was just basically. But it still flowed. It still flowed pretty well.
That will be one of my own critiques for our convention. I think that we need a bigger deal room. And it's not even that we need a bigger deal room. It's that we had so many more dealers, you know, in the wings waiting to get space, but just couldn't because we were maxed out.
Right.
So it's not even a matter of like, oh, we need a bigger deal room because it was really crowded. We just need a bigger deal room because we want to get everyone possibly in there.
Right.
Like, there was not an inch of space. That's kind of the reason why people were complaining, like, oh, my God, there were some dealers that were tucked away. It's because we wanted to get as much guys as we could in there. I mean, it's one of those things, like, if people will complain, oh, deal room was so crowded, okay, then next year, to make deal room less crowded, we'll get rid of 15 dealers. Do you want that?
No, definitely.
You want to have options. You want to have that mom and pop dealer that's going to sell you a six night for $50, which is a whole other story. But
I don't even want to hear that. All right, I don't want to hear it.
Yeah, but I will say one thing as far as the hotel as a critique. I did not like the hotel.
Oh, you didn't really?
No, A lot of us were way over in the executive wing, which is about as far away as you can get from everything else going on. So quick trips to the room was not a thing.
Could I ask you a question? Did you get the room rate originally?
Yeah.
It was in the executive wing. That's weird because a lot of people that had rooms, they had it in the main wing, I guess.
Well, Brian's was, but again, I had a problem with one or two of the hotel staff members. I'm not airing dirty laundry. I'm just saying that.
No. It's totally fine. Yeah,
it's you know,
and
you
were in. Wait a minute, real quick. You were in the 22 whatever wing, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I found this out later, but there were a couple people. Most everyone was in the main portion of the hotel, which if you know what the hotel looks like, it's got the big center portion that just goes straight up and all the hotel. Literally, you could go walk out of your hotel room, look down, and you could see all the way to the lobby.
I'm trying to find some good photos. And, I could just like screen share right now.
Yeah, and that's where most everyone was. I think, and it didn't matter when you reserved your room, because I know one person that reserved it like day one, and they got stuck over there. And it was hard to find. But I think what happened was I think the block filled up so quickly
That was the case.
We had a lot of people.
Originally, we had a hotel block, and that one sold out, and then we had to get a second one. I guess that second one was probably in that executive section.
No, because he and I both booked the same day, and I was in the I guess you'd call it normal portion or whatever, and then he was over in the 2200. So I don't think there was any rhyme or reason to it. I think just as you checked in, they placed you whatever was available.
Yeah.
And so it was difficult for you, and that's why I asked you – I told you before, you know, when we did the room-to-room trading, bring the stuff, do the set and the other, because your room is hard to find.
Yeah.
And I've heard that from a couple people, but that has nothing to do with, you know, with your block or anything. That had to do with the hotel being
– just, you know, selective. Left to draw on the rooms.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, for lack of a better term.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'll get to the hotel when it's my turn. But I have a little anecdote about the hotel. But please proceed, Don.
Yeah.
No, that's basically it. The only thing I'll say is that I know we had the convention rate, which was a lot cheaper than the regular rate. But not being able to use the internet in the room without buying the upgrade. I mean, the Wi-Fi was free. But it was so hard to use the Wi-Fi because of the amount of people trying to use it. I had to switch back to 4G most of the time. Just
really?
Because the Wi-Fi would sit there and blink and blink. It wouldn't find it. And if
I hate to tell you, but I bet it was your location.
Yeah,
because mine was fine.
A lot of the artists were not having any problems because a lot of them, they have to use their phones to get reference images for certain – and I didn't hear any complaints.
Well, I mean, I had my phone going. I had the tablet going, and we were fine. I was telling Daniel that even down in the dealer room
– Oh, yeah, downstairs was below, fine.
Even below level.
Yeah.
We had no problems, you know, doing credit cards and – researching anything.
Yeah, but upstairs, pretty much anywhere in my wing, out in the hallway, in the room, down near the elevator.
Sounds to me like you had a dead spot.
Yeah, the dead spot lasted from the elevators all, because my room was at the very end of the hall we were on.
Wow.
From the elevators, and literally, the Wi-Fi would not kick in, and we could not use the internet in the room without paying $5 to $10 upgrade fee. So, you know, it seems like if you're going to provide the internet, just provide the internet. But
it sounds to me like they need to do something to that wing to put an extra, what they call it, a boost, something to boost your signal. Yeah, over in that area.
Luckily, I wasn't trying to run.
Future reference, if anyone staying at that hotel, the 2200 or 2000 or whatever,
probably the whole
request the other portion of the hotel and you'll be fine.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, and it's also one of those things that people have to realize, like when TFCon started to really get noticed by fans and stuff around 2008, we were already pretty comfortable in the location we were at before. We already had all the kinks worn out. You know, like
the double tree.
What really makes the Toronto show so popular is because we have such a good communication and relationship with the hotel and everyone, whether it be the waitresses at the bar, the guy who runs the entire hotel, right down to the lifeguards who handle the swimming pool area. We know everybody. And as a result, that's what makes that convention run so smoothly. First year, very little experience right now. I mean, I think the only guy who really got to know that weekend was the security guy who locked up the deal rooms and the doors. Like, we have to slowly build a relationship, and that's why I think that's something that would be a shame if we weren't able to return to Chicago, would be because if we don't return to Chicago, we'd have to build a whole new relationship with a whole new hotel.
Yeah.
And, I mean, they kind of forced their hand on us. With their...
Who the hell still has a landline? With an answering machine. That's got to be Don. That has to be.
Well, I live so far out in the county, I don't trust a cell phone to get a call out.
I knew it!
Leave the man alone.
Okay, I live so far out, I can't get a pizza delivered.
You think let's put you this way. Do I know the cast or do I know the cast? I knew who it was.
Oh. Yeah, but I'm not trusting an emergency call on my cell phone.
Anyway.
Just, as I was saying, it's just that, like, it's such a shame that right now we're kind of meditating on the current situation due to BotCons, and I like to use the term power move that they did.
What was y'all's thoughts on that?
Well, I'll tell you this right now, and this could be public and everything. It was 100% we were going to come back to Chicago next year until that came up. And then it's like all of a sudden you have to take a step back and go, you know, and again, logic is what makes this convention survive. Thinking about every factor. And now that's a factor you have to think about. If you have a convention happening in June, that's BotCon, would you then want to come back to the same city 2 months later as TFCon? The success of convention is truly measured by people who are willing to travel to it. Correct. That's something that's it's a really weird thing to deal with. And now we kind of have to sit there and really strategize what we're going to do next. And BotCon knew what they were doing. I don't want, you know, and I love BotCon, but I'll tell you this straight up. They knew what they were doing when they did this. This isn't a coincidence. Like, this is something totally planned out because, and I mean, it sounds negative. I love BotCon, but that's something that clearly was a premeditated, planned situation. Maybe so basically, nervousness. Basically, I don't know.
Basically, they pulled a Machine Robo Rescue on you.
Essentially, yes, exactly. Well, you know what it is too, because the past two BotCons have had some really crappy numbers in terms of dealer turnout. I mean, maybe dealers were making money, but I'm saying in terms of the amount. Usually, dealers also make a lot of more money when there's less other competition. But the dealer turnout was very weak the past 2 years. Man, like San Diego was probably the most pathetic dealer room I've ever seen BotCon ever have. And I'm talking all the way back to like 2001.
Like, well, I was gonna mention that when you were talking about the dealer room being packed. And the only thing I said what I was gonna say was is, well, at least wasn't like what you said before where you could, you know, what would you say, shoot an arrow across the room and not hit anyone? Yeah, cannonball across the room and not hit anyone.
And not
hit, could have done that at TFCon. That's for sure.
Like it was, and but the thing is, the past 2 years have been, like, I mean, to give you an example. Like, yeah, you could say the excuse, oh, the arts and crafts thing, what was taking over the slot for BotCon Pasadena that just passed in June in 2014, but they were able to fit everyone and everything very comfortably, very spaciously. In the panel room. Think about that. Like, I mean, that really shows how the dealer turnout was low. And I mean, the Artist Alley was dominating half of that dealer space.
Let me say one thing on that. And Daniel, you and I talked about this, and from a business point of view, I personally want both shows to do extremely well. Because think about it, the both shows do well, I do well.
Of course,
and of course, that's what it is. Now, wait a minute. So when I hear that the numbers are low, this, that, and the other, I start thinking, well, why this, that, and the other? The biggest problem I see is if you keep something, and it may be different in Canada, but if you keep something at the same location long enough, it becomes stagnant. And what I mean by that is that you're going to get a lot of people, and we've talked about this before. I'm going to digress a little bit, but a main staple in a convention is the dealer room. You have to keep the dealers. You have to have a dealer room. And if the dealers aren't making any money, the show is not successful. I'm sorry, but that's the way it works. If you have a dealer room where the people keep coming every year and they're like, I'll pick it up next year because I know you're going to be back next year. Or I'll pick it up whenever because I know you'll be back. It hurts sales. And hurting sales in the dealer room hurts the convention. So by having it in the same location that is stagnant to where people aren't buying anything, the dealer room's not doing any good, and you start seeing your dealers shrink and your dealer room shrinks, that's a problem.
And I guess that's you're referring specifically to the Pasadena location itself.
Correct. They've had it there too often. And I mean I've talked to Pete and everything. I'll be very open about it. You need to move it around because that location, and I have nothing against Chicago or California, Pasadena. I've been there every time, but move it around. Let other people, because unfortunately for a dealer perspective, there's only so much money in so locations. You need to move around. And that's the truth of the matter.
I agree completely. And again, that is why Chicago was always on the plate, was just because we had to do the research first. We had to know, is the money there? Is the people there? Is the population there? Third biggest city in all of the United States, you know? Is the proximity for us to be able to get staff there? Is there people that already live there that could help us out with moving inventory over there? Because we're a bunch of Canadians moving down to the States, so we need some people on the inside to help us out here. It's just there were so many things that have to be factored. Again, good hotel room, good physical setup in terms of the floor and everything. Is there good parking? Is it a good hotel to begin with? That's another thing, too, I wanted to bring up. Like, the hotel that BotCon is going to be at next year was a hotel that we rejected, that we didn't want to do at, because we felt it wasn't sufficient for our convention, which is really scary when you think about it for how BotCon is going to be handled next year then. Because if it's something that wasn't good enough for TFCon but was good enough for BotCon, I'm worried about that then, because, I mean, BotCon, I don't miss it any year. I do it every single year, but that's always an expensive trip, and it would really suck to be a crappy one.
Right. But, so you're along the same lines as most of us.
Yeah.
You want to go to a convention, and everyone that goes to a convention, they don't go to see it fail. They want to see it being successful because it's a better experience for yourself.
If you're going to draw 4 digits,
you want it to
be
successful.
Well, hope it better do well, you know?
Right, exactly.
Fly all the way there. If you're going to do all that stuff, you better hope it's going to do well. And
sure.
And it's just – I just hope it is well, because, you know, I never wish bad on BotCon, because when you're a guy who's flying out from Canada, $700 plane ticket, you better hope you're having a good experience. You better come back going, wow, that was great. And that's why I always want to emphasize is we are not in competition with BotCon. Like, we never see each other as rivals in a sense. Maybe this recent move by BotCon, they see us as one. But we never saw it. TFCon was originally created way back in the day as the answer to, hey, Canadians, it sucks not being able to cross the border or get to a BotCon. We'll make our own. But then, not knowing it, it grew so big that it ended up becoming the rival of it. The old saying, you know, success is truly measured when the people who you used to look up to become your rivals. You know, when your idols become your rivals. And that's kind of what happened, where we would look at BotCon back in 2001, 2002, and only dreamed being that big, especially back then. You know, even me, my girlfriend used to say, like, before we started doing TFCon, it was one of those things. She was like, how did you not even know that this existed? You know, and I used to say, well, back in the day, for me, it wasn't even on the radar. It was BotCon or nothing. That's how I used to think. But when I got onto TFCon staff and started growing it, everything changed. Everything, like, it just before you know it, it starts becoming the better alternative for a lot of people, where, like I said, there was Americans who used to go to BotCon consistently. And then they said, forget it, I'm only doing TFCon now. And there's quite a few. I don't want to name drop, but like PA, TJ Duckett, like people who used to go to BotCon and just said, you know, what am I doing? Why am I wasting all this money when I could be going to this show? Now, it's different strokes for different folks. I find that there's stuff that BotCon have that's unique to BotCon that is sorely absent in TFCon. And I think there's stuff that exists in TFCon that's sorely absent in BotCon. And that's just how it is. One is a big corporation that has a lot of money to be able to back it. One is a small group of people that is a lot smarter with their money and knows how to stretch it as much as possible to be able to have something that's almost as equal to a big corporation. But they're both able to coexist in different ways. I mean, we'll never have a big crazy box set that's $400 and be able to swing that kind of stuff with the intent of – I mean, with that are Hasbro repaints and stuff, it won't happen. But we try to give something that's similar of that. How many exclusives were technically at that convention? At Access, you had Shafter, you had Pestilence, but then there was also the At Show exclusives also. You had Grant, you had what was it called, Q-Bar or whatever. You had Azalea. You had the Master Shooter guys with their two exclusives. There was a lot of stuff there that, you know, we might not have those 14 Hasbro exclusives in a fancy box and everything, but there was stuff. Oh, and there was even the Mario and Luigi repaints. There was the second run of those.
I actually had one of those in my hand. I called a friend of mine to see if he wanted it, but he didn't have them. But I held – the first time I've seen them in person, they look great.
They look amazing. That, honestly, and this is maybe it's because I'm just biased towards Nintendo stuff, easily the best TFCon exclusive that had ever existed, period, out of everything.
Very nice. Very nice.
Oh, but God.
What I was going to state is for those of us that go to the conventions, as a funny side note, by you – well, I'm going to say you, but by TFCon and BotCon – having this and bettering yourselves, it's only better for those that show up, because you are striving to make it a better convention, a better experience. So it's always better. It's always better. A little competition, you know the old saying, a little competition never hurt anyone.
And
it's not bad. It's not a bad thing, because it makes you look at yourself and what you're providing and hopefully provide something better next time.
Well, and it's one of those things that I think that we never were a problem for them until it was like we're doing America. And where it's like, oh, they're in Toronto, they're in Canada, it's not on the radar, we don't need to worry about it. And, I mean, I guess the example for them was you had something like DairyCon that's been around since 2001. Never was an issue for them. Always in Wisconsin. They got that nice niche Wisconsin set up there. They're used to their hotels in Wisconsin. Never was an issue for them. They had there was IACON 1, small convention, petered out after 2 years. There was what was another one? I'm thinking of like the – and I'm talking the early years. There was one that used to be done by Greg Gobb. God, what was it called? I think it was called TransCon or something. Him too. It was a very small show.
Yeah, that was the one that they shared an exclusive with BotCon, correct? They had the Onyx Prime.
Primal. That was with Men in Black Productions.
That was 96 The Disaster.
Maybe Doug knows what I'm talking about, but it's just.
Yeah, but wasn't that TransCon?
And it's been around for years in the United States, indie show, but never got huge. Always just was modest, you know, maybe 200, 300 people. I know that Greg Gobb even used to do like, I think when he first started it, it was like, it was RSVP only, like just that kind of show where there was no such thing as walk-ins and stuff. And all these shows, and then here's, you know, something going on in Canada, but at least it was successful, but at least it stayed in Canada. And now it's in the United States, and I think that created some kind of nervousness, because the way that we looked at the convention, I mean, that's part of the reason why I was there, is that we know how to work the numbers. We know how to stretch the numbers. We know how to take money from the previous year if it's successful and then put it towards the current year and make a bigger guest list. We know, again, because we're fans, we're very in tune with what the fans want, and so – IDW is really hot. Make sure to get every possible guy from IDW. I mean, with the exception of Alex Milne, who unfortunately couldn't be there, we literally had every guy from IDW short of Nick Roche and Simon Furman, who we apologize that we couldn't get two guys who were across the ocean. You know, so, I mean, it's just, we literally tried to get everything. I mean, the reality is, every year we're knocking on Frank Welker's door just to try. I mean, wouldn't it be great to have that? But we try. Every year we try. With Ian Corlett, another example, someone who's really kind of anti-convention, but we try every year, because you never know. One year his agent might be like, you know what? Let's give it a try. Let's see what happens. And that would be great for the fans, for TFCon. It helps everybody. We make money because people come to the convention. The fans are happy because they're able to meet the guests. We then take that money, and we don't put it in our pocket. We put it towards the next show. You know, it goes towards the next show. There's only so much profit that can be made that goes towards, you know, frivolous activity and fancy hotel rooms. Like, there's a lot of it has to go back into it. It has to be balanced. It has to be citrical. And that's how the convention has been successful, is that we have really good, how do I put it, accountants. And I like to, I'm part of that, but it's like we have really good people that are just good at balancing the money. And the conventions that have not been successful in the indie scene in the United States from, I would have to say, about 97 when they first started into today, a lot of them were really bad at balancing the money. They just didn't know how even conventions work on a basic form. The term is called a trade show, where if you can't even run a trade show properly, how are you going to run conventions that have panels and guests and activities? Who's going to pick up the guests from the airport? Who's bringing them in? What time does he have to leave? Where's his hotel room? There's so many factors. If you can't even do that, then how are you going to last 13 years? And that made them nervous when the convention, because keep in mind, BotCon, run by Fun Publications, has only been around since 2005. TFCon's been around since 2001. So that's a good chunk more of experience coming into the United States and making them nervous as hell. And already with numbers that have been going down big time, the numbers have been going down. They have not been going up. And, yes, it's also a decline in the hobby. You know, it hasn't been as big as it was back in 2007, 2008, 2009. It's obviously gone down a bit. But in an off-movie year, they're worried. They're worried about how weird the numbers are going to be, because it was very weird numbers during a movie year in Pasadena. You know, you're in L.A., you're in Hollywood, and it's a movie year, and the numbers were down. That makes you kind of like, pull your like, geez, where are they going to go from here? You know, and they're thinking the same thing. Pete and all of them are probably going like, we got so used to these good numbers since the first Bay movie. Now it's kind of on a decline. And now it's going to be a movie year, a non-movie year. Oh, boy. So, and then we got these Canadians on top of that, kind of raiding our country with their system of how things are set up. We don't need money being pulled away from that too, where 50% of the population say make it TFCon instead of BotCon. Some people, and it's sad because people now, they can easily get all the exclusives, which would probably be one of the few things that give BotCon that edge. But you could even pick up all the exclusives online on the Monday on the club store, which is so sad when you think about it. You literally go on the Monday and, hey, remember all the exclusives that didn't sell out? They're all here. And it's
Now, one thing to consider is that, one, not all the exclusives make it to the club store.
Oh, the ones that don't sell out, obviously. Yeah,
and remember, they've also got a lot bigger economies of scale, especially since they started doing troop builder sets. Because usually, this last BotCon was the first time over the last couple years that the three-pack was not the same figure.
Mm-hmm.
And the troop builders usually sell out because that's the one that people buy multiples of in general. Well,
it's interesting, actually, this year they didn't sell out the troop builder.
That was two in a set versus the three.
Yep.
So, I mean, there could have been something there. But also, with their economies of production and the exclusives, they may be a little cheaper on some versus the other, but they don't always go to the – they don't all make it to the club store.
Oh, but the counter argument that I give with people is that, and granted, yes, there's a lot more numbers of those exclusives. I would have to say that probably has a run of 1,500 minimum in some cases, maybe less, maybe more, except for maybe the custom class one. Where TFCon, a lot of those exclusives have runs of 500, but the amazing thing is everything sold out.
Yeah.
And like, we're a lot smaller than BotCon, but everything sold out. Q-Bar sold out, Azalea sold out, Grant sold out, the Master Shooter guy sold very well, the Super Mario guy sold out, Pestilence, we were down to literally a handful of them. So it's just, it shows that the money is there, the numbers are there. It's just that we kind of made them nervous that in the next couple of years we might be stealing, some of their money. If one person decides to make their one Transformer convention a year somewhere else, that's money for them. And yeah. I don't blame them for being nervous. I don't blame them at all. It's totally logical, and what they did where – I think the only thing is, you know, what they did where they came in and they were handing out flyers and stuff for their show. I mean, TFCon's guilty of that. We've handed out flyers for our shows at BotCon, so they're totally allowed to do that. There's no – you know, we've never said no solicitation. I mean, the whole point of all these dealers being here is also to advertise their businesses.
Yeah.
You know, so –
Well, I will say one thing. This will make the it will make the toy reveal for BotCon a bit more interesting this year.
I think that no matter what BotCon does, they'll always be successful. If the 30th anniversary was able to get away with the set that it had with Farrakh and Orange Jinrai and who else was there?
Well, Scorponok was
Animal.
Honestly, I think the Scorponok's what really sold that set, because you got a lot of guys that collect Headmasters, and that's why they wanted it. Just because of the
and he's such a popular character too.
Yeah, but that's what
it was.
I think the fact that they were able to get away with a set that really only had a few things to help it float, I don't think they're too worried about knocking it out of the park. You know, they don't always. That's especially now that the numbers keep going. Box sets aren't selling out anymore, really. Bag sets, the bag set in this case sold out because that Scorponok had a good secondary market value. Mm. And the only one that sold out from the other stuff was the custom class figure, because it was, it's Primal Prime. And, you know, it's an Optimus character in a sense. That was a custom class figure. So that was a big deal.
And the translucent, it was all around good.
It looked nice. Yeah. It was great. That was the go-to figure. Yeah. So
I was just saying that because if Brian Savage and the club does have these concerns that you were mentioning, then it's possible those concerns are also Hasbro's concerns. And if they're on the same wavelength about what you're saying, Hasbro may be going to Kara and saying, "Hey, we need the good stuff."
Well,
and that'll be whatever good stuff you want it to be. I'm just saying, again, that's why I'm looking for some really interesting reveals this year.
Well, and like I said, but that only goes to show what I said for the people that go to BotCon and TFCon. It's only better for us.
Mm-hmm.
It's only better for us because then I gotta go with my, you know, make my step with my my good step forward, or, you know, whatever you want to call it. I gotta put forward my best effort. And that's only going to be better for us.
Exactly.
In Pasadena, and they were talking about they address how exclusives are decided and stuff, and it has more to do with just availability of the molds at the time, right. And then the creative, like, essentially, and it almost has nothing to do also with Hasbro giving them the thumbs up, because, like, you'll have a 2009 BotCon exclusive Classics Scourge, which is a repaint of Noise Maze, or Sideways as he was called in America, and that doesn't stop Hasbro from making one later. So it's almost like there's not even a limit to what characters they could do. It's just the molds. It's right. Just them looking at a Cyclonus mold and going, what could we make of this? It's just them looking at a Ratchet from Prime and going, what could we do with this? It's more so that than anything.
Yeah. Some years the box set feels like it's being driven by the fiction they're created. Some years it feels like that the theme is being created by the molds they have available.
I would argue that I don't think it's so much the fiction. I think it's that they get the exclusives and then they wrap the fiction around that. I know that that's the case with TFCon. I'm pretty sure that if you lined up all the exclusives from the past year of BotCon and you went Scorponok, DevCon, Ginrai, right away there, I don't think it was driven by the fiction, because that's already three different timeline series. You got Headmaster series, you got G1 season 2, and you got Master Force. I'm pretty sure that wasn't driven by the fiction. I think it was more they looked at the characters they could create and then try to write around that. And I know that that's the case with TFCon also. A lot of times we really make the exclusives first and then try to decide how we write fiction around those characters, going how do we have an action, a Micromaster like Shafter Erector with a character like Axis, who's a Full Tilt homage to Triptychon? Like, how does that fall in with everyone else, yeah. You know. So.
Well, no, I'm just saying that's the way it just feels sometimes. You know, it's not.
I guess maybe with 2011 with the animated year, and I mean same thing with Shattered Glass, but in general, I mean even the Machine Wars year, it was just kind of like, okay, we're gonna do Machine Wars, and then 2 out of 5 out of the box set weren't Machine Wars characters, and then a lot of the rest of the At Show exclusives weren't Machine Wars characters. Instead, they just kind of wrote around what they were able to do instead.
Right. Oh, definitely.
Instead of going, again, I don't think the fiction comes first and then they do the figures. It really is the figures first and then the fiction comes.
You know, now Lenny has said, you know, sometimes they go into it. There's a story they want to tell with the sets because they know this story can only be told in the BotCon universe because these toys are not likely to get made at retail, you know, these characters, these and so forth. So sometimes I think that they have a story they want to tell and they can get the molds to tell that story.
It used to be that I would agree with you with that, but it's just as time progresses, anything is showing up in retail now and anything is like if you would have told me Straxus was going to be a retail toy or Skullgrin. Or, I mean,
Wheelie.
Or like Scoop. Not yeah. Scoop. What's his name? Yeah, Scoop. You know, like Scoop, a double Target Master, original mold, generations toy. I mean, something like Farrakh is a reality that could have been in retail. Something like DevCon is a reality that could have been in retail. Yeah.
Nice.
Or Cannibal, that originally was something from retail. I don't think there's any more rules when it comes to what characters could be put out. I think it's more than just every year BotCon. It slowly has become that BotCon is doing something that's unique to BotCon. It's just becoming more that let's see what we could do with these molds and have fun and tell a story. That's what BotCon is trying to do. Mm-hmm. It's a lot less of here's the only time we'll be able to get a Shattered Glass character. Although we have yet to get a Shattered Glass toy in retail, it's mostly just confined to the club and everything. But it's something like I could totally see BotCon being the only venue for now, at least. Tomorrow this could all totally be wrong, but so far it seems like the only way we're going to get new animated toys, and by new I mean characters, not so much the molds, but just mm-hmm. repaints. New animated toys and new Shattered Glass. Those two continuities are right now pretty much stuck in the club's hands of whether it be BotCon or the yeah. club store. Where we won't see that really in retail. But everything okay. else that has come out, whether it be G2 homages or like, you know, even something like we had that Metal Hawk that was in 2012, that's something I could have totally seen happening in retail. Weirder things have happened in retail.
That's true.
A lot of weirder things have happened. So it's just,
getting back to the topic.
Yeah.
Got a little sidetrack
yeah.
there. Plasticon, are you ready to give your take on your experience at TFCon?
Well, yeah.
Are you gonna kick off again?
I'm trying not to kick off, dude. It's just been happening. My internet's just dropping in and out. It's pretty bad here. I mean,
bam! All right. What he was gonna say was just like this. I enjoyed working at Mega Toy Fan's booth. That's what he was going to say. I know he was, because he really enjoyed himself.
Yeah.
But until he comes back. Now. Wait a minute. Is he there?
He's back?
All right. Other than working at Mega Toy Fan booth, because I knew you enjoyed that, and I just went ahead and plugged that for you. What else did you enjoy?
Yes, I did. I did enjoy working the vendor. That was actually pretty awesome because I met a lot of people. Overall, the entire experience, I was actually kind of blown away because actually seeing the fans up close, getting a chance to, you know, communicate with guys that I knew online or somebody that did reviews just like I do or are into like some of the weirder stuff other than Transformers, you know, some of that stuff just kind of just blent together. It was crazy. Absolutely loved going, and it's going to be a must again for me because I was blown away. I mean, I got a chance to meet most of the guys in person, and it was just an awesome time. I think, honestly, that's probably the biggest thing I take from, you know, going to these conventions is actually meeting the fans, meeting the people. Toys is cool, but when you start talking, you know, about certain things that you guys have in common, you know, and just different stuff like that, honestly, that's the big thing I took from the convention was because I like meeting people, like seeing where somebody else is or how they come about certain things, just hang it out. I mean, that's one big thing we kind of emphasized at the very beginning of this entire thing when we did our pre-show. Go to the bar and hang out with people. You will meet people. You will get to know people and
the way the hotel is set up, it's really made for, even if people are not in the bar, they're lingering around it. You know, there's all those other sitting areas. And, you know, one thing you're guaranteed, everyone that walked through that door, either like Supernaturals or Transformers that weekend. So.
Right, and you're correct. Like Supernatural. I mean, and it's crazy because there was another nerd convention going on, so it was kind of nice to see the lines blur a little bit there because you got guys that are in the Transformers, and you got these girls and such that are like really into like freaky weird stuff, you know. And honestly, everybody meets the middle of the road because who doesn't like horror movies and stuff like that? A lot of guys do. That are into Transformers.
Nothing beats a convention with chicks that are into freaky weird stuff.
Right,
happening.
Right. And it's
not that transforming robots are freaky weird or anything, right? I mean, we're not. We're sane. We're sane.
I mean, we're into
weird. They're the weird ones.
Stuff.
But, dead things and demons and whatnot.
But
hey, did I say I wanted to talk to the guy that didn't show up? No. Shut up.
He was there in spirit. He was there in spirit.
Not in my spirit, he wasn't.
He's from Canada. He could have been there, too. But anyway. Yeah, I mean, overall, the whole experience was just absolutely awesome. I mean, I got to video some stuff. I actually got to do an interview that you guys probably saw that we put up for episode 127.
Which, real quick, I'm sorry. I was absent for... had other things to do. Sorry, I did. I'll just leave it at that.
He was busy running his booth and doing what he needed to, and sadly I had to break away to go do the interviews to actually get it up. And honestly, I'm going to say this straight out. At least, you know, for once in my life, I actually got to sit down and do everything professionally, and it went well. And I was absolutely blown away by the way the interview went because our guests were – very patient on what they needed to do. And Aaron and Rick, I want to thank you again publicly for taking the time out of your day to do that short interview to help us out to actually get the fans a little more information about a upcoming toy line that has got me pretty excited too. So the thing is, actually, when I was walking around the floor, I didn't go to TF Source booth right away because it was tucked back in the corner. I was kind of just milling around. And one of the vendors in the very back, they had one of the smaller, the downsized Grand Max. And I didn't know that that was an exclusive until I walked up. I was like, what is that? He's like, dude, that's a...
And he's out. But this is what he was talking about. Right here.
It's a segue.
Yeah, he that is exactly what he was doing. So, until he comes back, all right,
again.
We'll go to my experience. Dealer room. We had a great time. We had a pretty big setup. It was one of our biggest ones. Actually, it was the biggest one of the year. We threw everything out. Everything. And... had a great time. I can't tell you how many times I was stopped and asked about the show, if we were on the show. So I appreciate everyone, all of our listeners who let me know that we're actually getting out there. That's very, very important. It's not so much that we do a good show, but that people let us know we're doing a good show or a bad show. Let us know. So the feedback's great. I will say this much, due to the overwhelming response, we are going to, and I'm going to do this, officially make Massey a cast member because he got more hits than anyone else. Anyone else. Yeah. That's all I heard was, you're the guy that does that show with that guy that the cat attacks, right? And I went, yes, I am. Yes, I am. Many, many times. Massey is our, and Don, I hope this is okay. He is our mascot, and if he wants, he can be our spokesman. That's fine, too, for the show. So, yes. Yes, we have an attacking cat on our podcast. So, yes, I heard that many, many times. I just wanted to plug a couple things at the show. The exclusives. And, I mean, I bought a lot. I bought mostly the exclusives. There was a couple things that went by, and anyone that knows me knows that there's very little that I'm looking for in the dealer room. So when something does come up and catches my eye, it's rare. But we'll go with I got this from Captured Prey, who is also our sponsor. And this is Toy World – and what's it called? Roar? Roar.
Roar.
Which is, I mean, it's not Roar, it's Snarl. A nice representation of Snarl. I was very happy with it. I wish it was a little bit bigger to be masterpiece scale. And anyone that says, yes, it is, no, it's not. It's a little small. But I'm very, very intrigued by the whole combiner aspect. So, of course, I'm going to get it. And Plasticon kind of alluded to the point of what was his name, Grant, and very, very nice. And there's actually a review up of it of the and this is Toy World also of Grand Max called Grant. Very, very much articulated, a little bit smaller, well, quite a bit smaller, but very, very nice representation of Grand Maximus. Very, very happy to get that. There was also a another one, I can't remember the name of it, for the Ripper, I think it was the name of it.
Yeah, yes. Yeah, Ripper's recolor of the Mate Toys.
Now is that a Shattered Glass, not Shattered Glass, because that copyright's name?
It's actually
not Shattered Glass, yes it is. It's a not Shattered Glass.
Yeah, because in the Shattered Glass fiction, Computron is in Abominus colors and vice versa. So basically, they put their afterburner from their Computron set into Cutthroat colors it's basically, it would be Computron and Abominus colors.
Right. So overall, my experience was the dealer room, we had a great time. The weird thing was everyone was worried about space, and if I needed, like, I wanted a couple extra tables behind me for my shelving, and the hotel was like, no problem. They sent a couple guys, bam, I had tables. Guy next to me, man, I need access to a plug so I could run my whatever it was. No problem, we'll get you an extension cord. No charges, you know. I'm not going to charge you $10 to use my extension cord or $5 for my extra tables. No problem. Here you go. It was all taken care of. I mean, very quickly. Very quickly. The hotel room. We, as Jason knows, we had a problem with the hotel room. I'm not going to get into details, but it was rectified very quickly to our satisfaction. Done. So the hotel... Although some of their staff, and as Proto Man said, they had a lot going on. Information was kind of low. Willingness and courtesy were definitely there. If you had a problem, they would do their best to help you. So I was very happy with the hotel. I also liked, as Proto Man said, that the lobby bar was right there. So that if you were coming down the elevator, you could scan and see what people were doing. And you could see the little groups of people talking. Absolutely. So you'd go down and you would just and that's what we talked about, you know, mingle, get in there, start talking. Believe it or not, people will talk back to you. I know it's a scary thought, but they'll do it. And you interact. So even while I thank you, we did very well at our parts party and at the booth by selling toys and the exclusives, they're second. They're second. The interaction, that's what you go for. That's why you pay to go to the show. That's why you pay to drive there or fly there or whatever, is so I can see Jason for the first time. So I can see Daniel again. So I can see Bryce. Oh, wait a minute. He didn't show up. Never mind. I can see Don, you know, Don without getting attacked by the cat. So we can interact and we can meet each other and talk, and it's not through this video stuff. So that's what it's about. And everyone will agree with that. That's the most important thing about these conventions, is the interaction.
I totally agree.
Absolutely.
That's what started TFCon was started on three dealers and a bunch of people that just like Transformers, you know, and it exploded to what it is today.
Why did it grow? Because when you're doing something right, people attract to it. They're pulled to it. If you have the same likes, you're going to go to it, and that's what it is. The only other thing that I didn't mention, it was one thing that I picked up, and I picked this up from one of the other dealers, and I'd wanted this for so long, and when I saw it, I just had to have it. But this was my big purchase.
Oh,
and I absolutely love this. And the neat thing is if anyone has never seen one, this is the who makes this? This is the Matrix of Leadership. It's a statue by is it Cold Cast or?
Well, it's Cold Cast, but it's God, what's the name of the company?
I don't know, I'm trying to remember the company. But here's what I didn't know is the key.
The Vector Sigma.
And it goes in the back.
I think it was Toy Asylum, now that I'm thinking about it.
It could have been. But this is what it does when you put the key in the back. And what it does, if it'll work.
I think you have to have the power on.
Oh. Stupid me.
It's on the base.
You know what?
Lighting your darkest hour takes 4 AA batteries.
That's right. I think I hit it by accident. But anyway. Let me get it set up there.
Energizer,
make sure the metal round part of the key. Yeah, you got it. Yeah,
there it is. And this is what I didn't know. It changes colors.
Yeah, as you leave it.
Green, then red. I mean, it's awesome. One thing. Now, there's a third party company that made one that you could lift it up and separate it, and it would stay lit up. This is the only thing I don't like about it. Here it is. You can see it's glowing. And I'm going to lift it up. And, of course, it's in the base.
Yeah, all this is in the base.
Yeah, it's in the base. But in all honesty, this thing is major cool. I mean, it's just bad.
And what's interesting on that, Megalus, is that if you look at the Transformers the Movie DVD, that's a very close representation to all the colors the Matrix shows in the movie.
Yeah.
The blue, the red. So it does a pretty good job of replicating those colors.
So my point being, even for someone like me, there was something in that room. There was something for everyone. I mean, you know, even if you wanted to buy a $5 toy to a $5,000 toy, whatever. The dealer room was diverse enough with exclusives, vintage, new. There was something for everyone. And then
there was a good
time. And then on Sunday, even better.
Yeah, the mix
Sunday was even better. Yeah, because that's when we got to do – we threw out – I mean, oh, God. We had Lone Ranger, Big Jim, G.I. Joe, Buck Rogers. Anything that had a toy line, we had it. And if that's what you wanted, go to Sunday. It was great. It was great. And I actually picked up a lot of stuff. Believe it or not, I collect stuff that's not Transformer. And I did pick up some other stuff as well. So there was a lot of, it wasn't just Transformers. It was a toy show, and it was really neat. So my overall experience of TFCon was I got to see all my bros. I got to see people that I've never seen before. Made a little bit of cash, got some stuff for my collection. It was nothing but a win-win for me. So, definitely. Absolutely. Does anyone else have any other thoughts on their experience other than Bryce, who didn't show up because he's cheap?
Yeah. Well, I will say one thing, Daniel, because I mentioned this on RFC. One of the great things about your panels was the lady running the panel. She ran a tight ship. She kept things organized. What was her name? Oasis something?
The funny thing is Oasis, her name's Michelle. She's actually she has been with TFCon since the beginning. She's American. She's the only American that's ever been on TFCon staff consistently, and because she lives in Michigan right on the border. And she has been our panel princess. We've had her, and she always keeps everything tight shift.
It was a lot of the times at panels, they tend to get a little ragged.
Yeah.
Not this time. She ran an absolutely fabulous panel, and she should be commended for keeping everything tight and on schedule.
Oh, like she's always been the one. She's like the police for it. She makes sure that no one's rattling with toys in the background. No one's talking. She's kind of like the stern finger waver at all of that. And she's the person that makes sure that if we're running 5 minutes late, if we're running 5 minutes early, she lets people know. Yeah. Like she has been a staple of the core staff since 2005. I wanted to say. And
the one thing she did
always made everything run great.
The one thing she did I want to commend her for. I don't mind anybody asking anybody to question the voice actors, but she stopped the drive-through questions.
Oh, yeah.
Which has been really one of the things that I dread every year at other conventions is some of these questions, they're asked every year, and you get tired of hearing them, and I'm just glad she said, no, we're not doing that, and we moved on.
Well, the beauty with Michelle Oasis is she's also one of those individuals that, even though she's staff of TFCon, she's a regular at MawCon. So when you're someone who sees that firsthand all the time, the drive-through questions, the script readings and all that stuff, she knows what to expect. When she's sitting in the audience as, just a panel viewer at MawCon, she knows what is not working out, what's annoying, what isn't annoying. What makes things work, and part of things being successful is understanding what doesn't work, and that's her thing. That has always been her thing, and she's been doing it perfectly all these years. And I'm glad to hear that, because she'd be happy to hear that all her work has been praised, because she is she's a tough cookie. You know what I mean? So she's awesome.
Well, the good thing is that kind of segues into our talk about interacting with others and the whole Oasis Dawn, getting together, all that stuff. You can many relationships have hooked up because of conventions, but we can talk about that at another time. Going from a non-attendee point of view, Bryce, who was too cheap to show up or too afraid to go over the border, what is your point of view on TFCon? What kind of coverage did you hear about? What were the things that you heard that you just were like, damn, why the hell didn't I, grow a pair of, and go over the border? What was it? What was it exactly?
I think he's going to do
$2,000 and profit share and bonus from skipping work for an entire week to go would have been the problem.
Work has nothing to do with going to a TFCon, BatCon, whatever convention. If you want to go, you go. So, I don't want to hear that. Give me something else.
Weekends, it does.
Well, he's going across the border to come kill you probably.
Anyone that knows me knows that I have plenty of guns. He can try. But that's beside the point.
I'll just throw some bacon at it.
He'll just have a criminal record in the States and then leave.
I like bacon. So it doesn't matter. He found my weakness. So, okay, we'll go past that then.
It was well covered.
Good, good. Plasticon, did you have anything to add to it before you were cut off again?
Isn't he already cut off?
He's already cut off again. Yeah. Either that or he is really, really just focusing on that monitor. Oh, he's gone.
I seen the exclusives and had to get the second Diaclone Dino.
Oh, this guy right here? Yep. Was it this one? No, it wasn't. No, it was
the Kubar is taking.
Oh yeah. This guy.
Yeah.
Who's selling ridiculously on eBay right now.
Well, and the other thing that you neglected to talk about was is they actually had a small amount of the Toronto.
Yeah.
Right, because I went ahead and grabbed them both to have the set. So they did do that, and the Mario and Luigi that you talked about, I know that there was a very, very, very small number of those left,
and I'm sure they're
gone.
Two cases, those were gone, like, instantly. Same thing.
Yeah.
Car Crash, I believe his name was.
Oh, yeah, I got the
GT version.
Also a staple from TFCon Toronto 2014. The leftovers of that were present at this show, and only this show.
He's over there somewhere.
All right, hang on.
Yeah. What's interesting,
this
though.
This guy right here.
Yeah.
They had this guy also. They actually had a few of these left.
Yeah, they had about, I would have to say, 25 of those. And that was
now, I think what they did was, is because for those that went to Toronto, they sold out of these. And I think what it was is I think they were saving a few for the Chicago show, which is fine. You know, give everyone a chance. So that's two shows, and they're gone. I mean,
yep. It
is what it is. So I'd have to agree with you. You figure with all the Fans Project, the Toy World, your guys' exclusives. I mean, you're racking up there. I mean, I don't think you're at 14, but I'd have to say you're pretty daggone close.
When you think about it, too, the argument could be said. It's like the average BotCon exclusive is between $50 and $60, and that's a set of two. So you could even split that in half and say the average figure is $25-$30 each, and they don't sell out. Where each one of those guys, those heavy hitters, were some of them 120, 130, and they had no problem disappearing. People,
go to TF Source now and try and find him.
Yeah, well,
you're not going to do it. Go to the other ones. Were these even offered on the website? I don't think they were. The Kubar.
No.
And they're gone.
They're gone. They're all gone. Everything. They were
like, and your exclusives gone. I mean, you're just not going to get them. You have to go to the conventions to get them. And that's another thing I like, because when you go and you get an exclusive and I don't know, pick one, you know, and you grab it and you got this at TFCon. So when I see this, I remember I got this at TFCon. I didn't get this on the internet, on eBay. Or on TF Source, whatever. I got this at the show because it was a show exclusive. It helps add to the experience. And like we said before, not just the toys, but the interaction as well. So it just adds to the experience, and I think that's great. It's a great idea.
And it shows, too, because a lot of the big names, the big personalities in the fandom were present, you know, whether you were – a small-time reviewer or some of the big reviewers. There was just so much going on there, so many people to meet, that it was great. And it's a shame that I can't meet everybody, because there were so many people that just come up to you and they just shake your hand. And I always ask them, what's your screen name, just in the slight chance that I might know who they are. Because I pay attention to you guys. Don't think that if I'm someone big or popular that I'm not going to be paying attention to the posts that you make in the boards. I read everything people write. And I always like – that's when someone in at TFCon Toronto, a guy named Bruticus82, he started this trend where everyone had their Twitter avatars in their name badges. And it made it a lot easier for me to remember people, just seeing those little avatars. And I'd be like, oh, I don't remember your name, but I remember that avatar when you would, like, favorite or retweet my stuff. And it's like, it's one of those things that it's really humbling to meet people. And I remember Oasis brought this up. I was doing a panel and someone asked for an autograph. And it was just like, you know, that kind of stuff just – it blows my mind. It does. It really does. And it's something that – it's cool to make that connection. It's cool to be, you know, God, you know, thousands upon thousands of miles away from
God. Whoa, 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 whoa. God? You just said it's cool to be God, but I'm going to stop you right there.
Thank God.
I said, yeah.
I didn't say that.
You are correct. You are correct. It's all about –
miles away from home, and
I know I took that out of context, but it was funny, and I'm going to leave it at that. It's always cool to connect, you know, with people that see you on the internet, see you on the show, whatever. People that like I said before, that you only get to see by doing, you know, posts or by Skype or whatever.
Skype or Twitter.
That is what the whole convention is about, and whether you go to one convention or another, it's the interaction, and that's what we talk about. If you remember our pre-show, pre-TFCon, it was all about, you know, soap, mouthwash. But there's a reason for that. Interacting with people. That's what it's all about. That's why that's why you know, we do the parts party. It's not just to sell some stuff. It's nice to sell stuff. Of course it is. It's nice to get stuff, but also to, you know, come here and sell your wares. But it's also about, while you're here, we talk. You talk to other people. You get to learn what they like. You get to learn what they expect. Interaction. That is the key. You know, I mean, those on the outside are going to say, well, yeah, you got a nice little social system. It's a little morbid, but, you know, social. It's ours. It's what we are, you know. And you talk about supernatural. They have their little social, you know, morbid little whatever, and that's good for them. It was just really, really funny that they both occurred at the same location at the same time. And I've never seen, pardon my French, more horny Transformer fans than at your show. And I'm going to leave it at that.
Well, that's just because of the turnout of Supernatural fangirls. So.
Yes, I will leave it at that.
It was auction.
Yes, it was. It was, but the funny part was is you could definitely tell who was here for TFCon and who was here for Supernatural.
Yeah.
Yes or no?
But
you could.
What's a goth? What the hell? But
what's weird is if you, but when that happens, that just shows you how, no matter how different your fandoms are, they're all the same to a degree. Because I was speaking with one young lady, we were all walking back.
I bet you were.
From the McDonald's, and she got to talk because I had not watched the show more than two or three times, and I was asking her. I thought the thing was canceled at season 5, season 6. That's the last I paid any attention of it. And she went and was telling me how when they lost one producer or director, and then no one picked it up who didn't do too good, then they got a new guy come back. How season 8 was the best. So, and she knew her season. She knew who was done. So it was the same thing, like, you know, we look back over the tenure and say, yeah, animated was great or animated wasn't good or whatever the case may be. They're the exact same thing. It's just what they watch is different, but they have their favorite seasons, their favorite people. So we may not have anything in common, but we love our stuff the same.
We're both passionate.
Yeah.
About something weird. Yes, that is correct. All right. Okay, does anyone have anything else to add? Plasticon, anything?
Oh, I mean, I guess I can talk about some of the stuff I got because, you know, I busted my rear end at Megamus's booth.
At where? No, no, at what? What?
At Mega Toy Fan's booth.
Shameless plug, yes.
By the way, if you guys are at any of the conventions, if he doesn't have it out there, ask him, because I'm sure he'll be able to get hold of it. But the big thing was I got hold of a box. And I'll hold up the box right here. I got it.
Who else sells them by the pound? That's all I'm going to say.
This box was 15 pounds of GoBots.
We 15, sell them by the pound.
15 pounds of awesome.
Bucks of awesome. Lots of machine robo GoBots. Yes, I have.
Now I'm picturing.
Probably increased my freaking collection by at least 70 plus from that box. So.
Yeah. But here's the question. Here's the question. Was it a good deal?
Oh God, yes. Yes.
By the pound. That's right.
Yes. By the I'm imagining by the pound.
I'm imagining him filling the box. It's like I'm a little shy, 15 pounds. Give me another scooter.
No, it was actually pick it up, shake it. What do you think? This is about 15 pounds? He goes, yep. I said, sold. There you go. That's how it went.
Nothing but jumpers, creepers, and pumper and dumper.
That's right. But here's the other thing.
And one
you are correct. Way. You are correct in that. Let us know. Because I also at the show had a gentleman ask me, he said, you know what? I've been looking for a Leo Kaiser gift set. And I said, I'll see what I can do. And lo and behold, this will be mailed out tomorrow to a wonderful gentleman because he was looking for one. And
how
I
much?
Found it. That's beside the point. That's between him and I.
Yeah.
But basically what it comes down to is let us know what you want.
Yeah.
We'll try and find it. And, of course, for all your new stuff, like RAR? RAR? Because, RAR. I got this guy from – anyone? Anyone?
Capture Prey.
CapturePrey.com. Yeah. Absolutely. That's where I got it from.
Great toys, great prices, great service. CapturePrey.com.
That's right. I can't say their slogan. But I can tell you one thing. I buy from them. You know why? Because I don't go out and hunt – for the new stuff, I just get the cheapest prices from him.
Yeah,
absolutely.
And it's interesting because 2 years ago, do y'all would have thought we would have had so many Dinobots to choose from? We'd have to keep track of who's doing what with spreadsheets. Because I talked to somebody and that's how they keep their Dinobots on what's coming out from what company. Because there's so many different ones coming out, they have a spreadsheet.
Well, I would say if you really wanted to be a completist in the third party,
you're screwed.
You're screwed. I mean, because there's just so much. Why do you think I'm going? Okay, this guy's neat and everything. What's his name again? Because there's a lot. There's a lot, you know. It used to be, okay, Fans Project, this, that, and the other.
Now,
I mean, can anyone even say, especially if you, Daniel, when you go to the panels, do you go, who did this one? This
oh, my God.
How many companies, just companies, do you have to think of?
It's like, this is KFC, and it's called Strong. It's like, oh, my God, the names, between the names and the companies. And, again, on top of that, this year there's a lot of new companies that came out.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
And the thing is, a lot of them
features with their wacky names. Yeah. And
there's also a lot of these companies share designers.
Yes, they do.
So you've got a lot of interlinking in between these companies, even though they're separate entities. And then you've got your spinoff companies that are new groups being formed all the time. So it's literally just impossible to keep track of all this stuff. But I will say the third party room, it was nice to see that stuff in person because you get a better feel of what it's going to look like. So instead of just, because we've all bought stuff based on even high quality resolution pictures sometimes let you down. So it's nice seeing it in person.
Yeah, that was a staple that we started about 2 years ago where we just get a whole bunch of DTOFs and ask the creators, could you send us prototypes? Can you send us whatever to give people a preview of what to know, what's happening? Yeah. We'll send the prototypes back. They won't be broken.
Yeah, but I don't know about y'all, but I held Utopia. I picked him up.
You did.
I held him, and it was like, oh! I mean, this thing was just awesome. I mean, it is the Metroplex that I want.
Well, two things. One, I appreciate you calling me Utopia, but that's okay.
He's off his meds again. Someone needs to give him his meds.
Yeah, whatever. That's all right. We plan on making your information available to Oasis. just in case, because we would like to have our first TFYLP connection, because we're all about, you know, connecting. So I think we can make that happen. So if Daniel, if you could just, you know, relay that information to her.
Won't be difficult.
Yeah, there you go. We got it going on. All right. There we go.
And I'll tell you something.
Now that that's out of the way.
She likes cats.
You know, Bryce, did you have
she likes cats
to add to this conversation? Or are you just going to sit there and look stupid?
You guys are talking all you want.
That's what I thought. Okay, Daniel, you were saying?
She has two of them that are actually after Jazz and Prowl. So it's a match made in heaven.
That's what I was thinking. We were going to have it. For your listeners out there, we're going to have our first TFYLP connection. I'm talking straight through. I'm not talking about maybe wedding bells or whatever, because I'm not that presumptuous. But, you know, close enough. You know, at least a first date or something like that where Massey doesn't attack her, which, you know, Don, you'll have to do something about that. You know, a little kitty litter or something.
Back up. What are you talking about now?
Me?
Yeah.
Nothing. Absolutely nothing. Daniel, you know what I'm talking about on this.
Oh, I know what you're talking about.
Down low. All right, there we go. So anyway, Jason, you were saying something about GoBots or something. Yeah. What was that about?
Yes. I was talking about my haul that I got.
Yeah, exactly. Go ahead.
Okay, besides the 15-pound box.
GoBots.
Well, GoBots.
We're caught an anchor, but go ahead.
I did get a rough version of Trypticon that I am planning on doing a custom of. Most of you guys probably know where I'm going with that.
Yeah, but where'd you get that from?
Mega Toy Fan, of course.
Oh, yeah, I forgot. That's right.
Oh, so subtle.
I am subtle on that. That crook.
That crook, right? That crook also hooked me up with two rough G1 Metroplexes that, if any of you guys have been following me out there, you guys know that I'm possibly going to be doing the other Titans that are behind Metro Titan as customs. So,
by the way, you sent me that picture. That's the first time I've seen that. Which comic is that from?
I want to say that is Battlestars, but I don't remember exactly where.
Sent me a picture of they were all the same mold of Metroplex, but they were in extremely different colors, including one that was pink. I mean, just different colors. There was a pink. Wasn't there an orange one?
There's a pink, a teal, an orange, and a purple.
Sounds like the Argentine colors are back.
But it's just a simple fact that I want to do this because some of the guys out there that have a love for City Bots, some of them, you know, I'm going to end up doing them. Obviously, you guys know I'll end up doing reviews of those as well when I do get them done. It will be a little while on those, but those are customs that are in the making. Also, Mega Toy Fan hooked me up with a box of
Not that kind of box.
Pretenders. And I was after some Pretenders, but I wasn't sure, you know, which ones I was going to get. And then I started digging through a few of his boxes he had and started piecing some stuff together. And now I am very complete almost with my Pretender line. So I'm getting there. So
there was a lot.
Complete. You guys will see a big resurgence of a whole bunch of Pretender reviews coming from me because I'm going to end up doing those eventually. Our buddy Russ, I can't remember his store name that he had, but he always came by.
Prime
he
Target.
Hooked me up. Yes, yeah, Prime Target.
Professionally cleaned.
Yes, and this was a pristine one. I got a G2 Inferno off of him. Never had one. I wanted one because I wanted to get a good one because I'm a fanatic. And my G1 is in really good condition. I want to have a G2 to put next to it. And he hooked me up with one. Wasn't carded or anything, but it was complete. And that's the biggest part of it. Everything was clean, no stickers peeling, nothing. Beautiful robot. And then next to us, there was this other vendor that was selling a lot of G1 and G2 stuff. And he has some odd KOs sitting there. And I acquired a KO of Inferno that is Generation 3. It's a gaudy, crazy colored one.
Let's see if I can find one. Because,
if you can find a picture of it to put up.
It is extremely neat.
Neat is not the word I would use, but...
It is. To me, I think that's what Generation 2 should have been. With this one, but when he gets the picture brought up, it's
I'm working on it.
Dan has it in hand right now. That is the exact one I have. He even said, you know, yeah, the plastic is a little inferior, but it's not to the point that you feel like it's going to blow up in your hand. Because I've had a lot of KOs before that just like it crumbles. That one actually held together very well. It's very stiff.
All the joints
are very tight.
It's pretty. I mean, it does have that feel of like, yeah, it's Chinatown plastic, but it's still pretty good. And what's interesting about it is, I believe it was probably more based off of the Generation 2 mold because it made the extra effort for the Canon. Although this is a remolded Canon from Generation 2. The Generation 2 Canon is a lot bigger, so it had the water gimmick. This one is just a closed molded, like kind of water Canon, but it's. I bought it because I'm like you. I really like Inferno, and I got this many years ago in Chinatown, Mint on Card, where it was attractive to me because it said Generation 3 on the packaging, which during the Beast Wars era, when this came out around the time when Beast Wars was on television, it's very weird to have something that says Generation 3 on it, you know? So,
pretty cool. It was pretty awesome. I mean, the one I got that was carded, was never opened, still has stickers. Everything was complete. I put it together. I haven't stickered it yet, but I don't know. How are the stickers with yours?
Oh, they're really pretty cool. Mine came fresh from the card itself when I bought it back in the day.
So the stickers are holding on fairly good then.
Oh, yeah. And the wheels didn't crack or anything. I've had this for 15, I don't know, more than that. Probably like 17 years, something like that.
Yeah, so that's pushing. I mean, that's a vintage KO, guys. That's not one that you can just go
up
on eBay and find. The only ones I've seen that came up actually on eBay are always missing the parts, especially those blue wings. It's very rare. So I actually get a very good deal on that thing. Mm-hmm. I was very happy to get that. Yeah. And then I started milling around and went through the
I'll go put them away.
The stores and such, and I came across another Pretender shell. It was to the box of Pretenders that Mega Toy Fan hooked me up, and I actually found a shell with a gun to finish. It's the I'm not so familiar with all the Pretenders' names. I'm still trying to wrap my head around the names of them. It's the pig,
Snarler.
Snarler, yeah. The only thing he's missing now is his little shoulder spike things, which are very difficult to find anyway.
The little pads,
But it fit in there perfectly. The little bot that I got, the inner bot that I got off of Mega Toy Fan, great condition, no cracking, no nothing. Because it's kind of that weird kind of brownish, odd-colored plastic, so you think it might be GPS, but it's not. It's very good condition. Still clicks very well. And the biggest thing I would say, probably the biggest score I got from him, from Mega Toy Fan, of course, was the cassette sound wave.
Oh yeah, but it had what?
It also had the instruction manual, which I have never seen. And as far as I know, a lot of people out there, they can't find an instruction manual for this thing at all. So. It's very interesting getting that thing. It was pristine. I mean, opened up the battery compartment, no corrosion whatsoever. It didn't look like the thing has ever been used. So, you know, my hat's off to Brett for hooking me up. He really hooked me up big, big time. I'm getting some awesome kibble to be able to put on my shelves and to complete my G1 collection even further. Because, you know, you guys know me. I'm after my G1 and G2. Then later on, I'm just going to jump down the Diaclone train because, you know, that's going to be a train that's going to be a long time because there's a lot of just stuff out there. Most people don't even – I mean, even Brett, I think, acquired – didn't you acquire, like, a really odd Diaclone? I acquired
a couple things. One thing that I'll go ahead and say it. Gentleman came by and wanted to trade and actually had this, which when I'm holding up is a really weird colored blue streak. But what it is, it's the Mexican version, which looks like was just like globbed in primer paint. It's really, really hideous, but I had to have it. Pretty hard to find. It's broken. One of the little back windows is broken, but I was very happy to get it. Made a trade with the gentleman. It was all great. So, like I said before, all these shows, TFCon, you know, the other ones, whatever you want to call them, all this and the other, go to them because you're going to find – I mean, I haven't seen one of these on eBay in years. And a guy brought it up. You just never know what's going to show up at these shows. So, and the other thing is, you're never going to know unless you ask. Interaction with people, you know? Guy walking around and you start talking to him and he goes, yeah, I've been trying to get rid of this. It might be what you want. You didn't even have to go to a dealer, you know? Two people just meet at a convention, you get it. I mean, it's all about interacting. Everyone's got that one thing in common. They like Transformers. There you go. Build on that. And I guarantee everyone across the board will agree with that we all have something in common other than being human beings, I would hope, except for Massey, and a love for Transformers. Build on it.
So I kind of want to say I think probably the person that came up with the best haul out of all of us was
– Oh, my God. Did Dan Massey here. Talk?
Dan. Yes, I heard Massey.
Was that Massey?
Yeah, he's mad about something.
It's because we didn't talk about him. He's our mascot now.
Yeah, I know. So, Dan, enlighten us on this $50 purchase you got.
Oh, but,
because
yeah.
I was eyeing on that damn thing until you picked it up.
Speaking of wonderful purchases.
I almost don't even want to take off the price tag. It's so ludicrous. It was.
That's why I looked at you and said, if you don't, I will.
Oh, I knew. Of course. Well, it was one of those things that, like, it wasn't even something that was found the Friday. It wasn't something found during dealer setup. It wasn't something found the Saturday morning before the deal room opened. It was me casually strutting around the deal room between panel number 7 and panel number 8 for the day for me. And then just going like, wait a minute, is that Six Night? And what was crazy was it was right across from this bastard right here, who probably would have been staring at it the whole weekend.
No, he told me he just put it out.
I literally never
know what's going to happen. That's what I'm telling you.
That's like anyone who's a regular at BotCon, Azusa, one of the Japanese guys.
Yes.
He never puts out everything the first day. You literally, like, 2 hours before BotCon is over, and he's putting out stuff. And it's just like, that was just pure luck. Pure luck, a little bit of ignorance from the seller who didn't really realize what he had.
Well, yes and no. You know, he just wanted, that's what he had in it, because I asked him. That's what he had in it, that's what he wanted out of it. Pass along the goodness, and that's good. But I did want to say one thing. And this will go towards our listeners. I've looked at that. I've looked at what they do about putting out very, very rare items throughout the day. We're going to do that. We're going to do that at the next show. And so just be forewarned. If you come by at the morning,
come on.
You might want to come back later because we're going to do that. And I'm talking about some rare stuff. Because I love that idea. You also forgot to mention how they used to do the rock, paper, scissor.
Oh.
We're going to do that as well. We're going to bring that back. I love that idea.
That brings
and
back.
For those that don't know, basically, the seller would put out an item, and the first two people that say, I want it, you have to go rock, paper, scissor in order to buy it.
Do you know the memories that brings back?
That was awesome. I loved it.
I had forgotten about that, and there were so many. I remember, I think he had a boxed G1 stepper, and he did that.
Think about how rare that is and how you would want to get it. And then you're there, and he goes, well, the two of you do rock, paper, scissor in order to buy it from me. And that's what he did. And that's what we're going to do.
Yeah.
And we're not talking about for a run-of-the-mill toy. We're going to have some pretty rare stuff. That's what we're going to do, because that's the fun. Because years later, you're going to have a guy doing a podcast like me that goes, remember when they did that? That's what I want. That's what I want.
Well, the big reason why, I mean, and honestly, and with Brett, it's not the simple fact that he's trying to get money. It's the simple fact that he's building a memory for himself and the customers. It's like Dan, like he's always going to remember that he got that item from he'll never have that memory again from somebody else.
Because he was also kind of one of those individuals that clearly didn't know what a Canadian looked like, so I gave him plenty of Canuck stories, to say the least. And my wallet's not near me. I love showing Americans what our money looks like that really don't know what it looks like, and especially because our older $5 bill used to have Wayne Gretzky on the back. So I love showing that to them. Like you got precedence, I got Wayne Gretzky. So it's just – I love showing
that. Yeah, you win in that aspect.
It's always funny. Always funny. Showing we have Monopoly money. Look at us.
I always said that, but the funny part is if you look at the colors, they're the same.
Oh, yeah.
And no one understands that. The fives, the tens, the 20s, the 50s, and the 100s are all the same color that Monopoly uses.
Yeah, it's true. It's true.
Now, am I going to say that Canadian money got it from Monopoly or Monopoly got it from Canada? I don't know. I'm sure it was the opposite. But it's just funny because when people say Monopoly money, it's kind of true. It really is.
Well, I'll tell you, that's the one thing I kind of hate about American money is when I go to pay for something, I actually got to look at it for a second.
Yeah, because it all looks the same.
Yeah, so you got to go, okay, yeah, that is a five. And as a Canadian, one thing – I just don't understand singles with you guys. I still don't. I mean,
it's not a coin. It's not a toonie.
It's like you look at your wallet and you're like, oh, I got a lot of paper in here. And you're like, oh, they're all $1 bills, you know?
Well, there's a reason for that, okay? We need to be able to put it in the G-string. Okay. Yeah, I mean, that's just how it is.
I saw that one.
Yeah. I think that's the only reason.
Of course you did. What did I tell you before? Wait a minute. Now listen. What did I tell you before? Your 50s and 100s smell like what?
Maple syrup.
What's our 100s and 50s smell like?
Cocaine.
Thank you.
They're taking it orally.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, there you go. Oh.
In any case.
Does anyone have anything else to add?
I picked up from Captured Prey. I picked up the first three Warbitron figures, Airburst,
which are, by the way, one of the best combiners you can get. I love those figures.
Yeah, Airburst, Heavy Noise, and Slice Strike. Great, solid toys. I was trying to ignore them for the longest time. Finally decided to cave because I sold a few things of my own to counterbalance what I bought. Picked up some DVDs while I was there. Beast Wars 2, Beast Wars Neo.
Yeah.
And also for me, Mighty Orbots and Bionic 6.
Bionic 6. Wow.
Yeah.
I haven't seen that in how long.
Yeah. So that's why
you pick that up on a Saturday or a Sunday?
Saturday.
That was Saturday.
Oh, Christ. It doesn't even go long. God.
But that, but and I also picked up the Master Shooter 2-pack with Ball Gag and Hustler, which are the actual names. I'm not embellishing on those.
And if you guys don't believe me, go look at my reviews. I've got both sets up on there.
Yeah. Yeah. So I actually bought a lot less this year than I've bought in many years, but there wasn't that much I was looking for, really.
Well, that's what I was saying before. I mean, my purchase for myself has dwindled every year. The more you get, the less you want.
Yep.
But I mean, like I said before, I mean, how often is Mexican Blue Streak going to come across? You know, your show exclusives, I mean, of course. So every show is unique, and there's always something that you can buy. There's always something that you can add to the collection. So, absolutely. Does anyone have anything else?
Well, for TFCon or just in general?
We'll go with in general first. Okay. As long as Matthew isn't going to attack you.
No, he's stalking up something. Now, this is something I thought of during the show, and I just wanted to point it out. With the upcoming holiday season, there's going to be a lot of people out in retail stores looking for the newest stuff, looking for gifts and stuff like that. I work in a retail environment, so I'll be there anyway. But one thing I wanted to bring up to all the collectors that's going to be out there, if you see a parent or a grandparent in the action figure aisle and they look bewildered, try to give them some help, because I have found that during the holiday season, so many of these parents and grandparents don't know the toys the kids are looking for. They don't know the names. They don't know the shows. So going into the holiday season, just as some goodwill towards your fellow man, help these parents and grandparents out. And I'm saying this for two reasons. One, it's the right thing to do. And two, the next generation of collectors can be determined if they get the right toy or the wrong toy. And that may be putting a lot more seriousness on it than a lot of people think it deserves. But I'm just saying, if some kid gets the wrong toy, that could well be this kid doesn't like toys because of this figure.
I think if they get a one flip changer transformer on Christmas instead of a little more complex Optimus, they're going to get bored with it very quickly and reach for that iPhone.
Yeah,
that'll be the end of that.
And not just that, but that kid might need to go into toys to be a designer, to be an engineer. So again, I'm putting a lot of seriousness on this, but I'm just, you know, as a rule of thumb, it's the right thing to do and make sure that the kids get what they want and not be disappointed come Christmas Day.
True.
So I just wanted to bring that up as it's just something I thought of.
Yeah, I completely agree with you on that. And when it comes to, like, making purchases this year, guys, just pay attention to what you're buying and shop around. Don't be that guy that just jumps on the first deal that comes across, because you never know. Keep the deal in mind, but shop around. It's always the big thing.
Yeah.
Shop.
And if you see a really good deal, like a buy one, get one half off or something like that, consider getting an extra. If there's nothing that you need, like say, oh, this is a great toy, but there's nothing I want to trigger the half off, think about doing a Toys for Tots. If you've got a local Toys for Tots or a Salvation Army, use these sales if you want to just donate anything.
All right.
You know, something to consider as well.
Very true.
That is true. All right. Anyone got anything else other than Bryce that didn't show up?
Bryce needs to say something. Jeez.
Well, say something. Okay. Well, hey, Bryce, you've seen all the news with all the reveals. I'm assuming you've kept up with all that. Of everything revealed that you've seen pictures of, except for the one thing that we couldn't take pictures of, what do you think is the most impressive thing coming out of the TFCon third-party panels?
Ooh, good question.
From someone who wasn't there and who wasn't inundated with the stuff all weekend.
Make those Scorpionk.
They did that in Toronto.
Still my favorite.
You suck.
Yeah. Well, did you hear about the? Did you, Daniel? We can mention the last thing from the show, right? That we couldn't take pictures of.
You're allowed to talk about it, of course.
Okay, well, I just want to make sure it was nothing had changed. Yeah. Well, the last thing
I wouldn't have been able to control every single person in that panel to keep their mouth shut.
Yeah. I would hope not.
Yeah. The last thing we saw in the third party panel was. Daniel, who is doing it? Because I don't remember the name. Which company?
Right now, they don't want to. They, I don't believe they revealed their name yet either.
And that's why I'm not remembering it. But we are getting.
It was essentially a Dino King, but done in, because you could say, well, Dino King isn't that just Monstructor also? But it was actually a Dino King done in the style of Obari, which was the guy who worked on the Studio Ox art for Transformers 2010, Master Force Victory Zone. So if you look at it, the actual figure, although you can't, there's no images yet. But if you look at it, you saw that the proportions were more anime accurate to how it looked on the show, where if you look at what Monstructor's toy looked like, it's a lot more blocky and there's less pronunciation on the chest and everything. So it was a combiner, third-party Dino King. In at the moment, gray cast resin. The guys who sent it to us pretty much said, "Don't mention our name at the moment, and don't have any pictures taken because we're not confident with the final product yet. But we will be revealing something soon. It's just we just wanted to give people a taste of what is to come, because I mean, the one thing that I've always felt, and I agree with even that company, was they felt that." We're kind of like running in circles when it comes to a lot of these combiners. We just seem to be doing the main Scramble City guys. Here's another Defensor. Here's another Predaking. Here's another, Computron, Superion.
I've seen a picture of the chest and face.
I believe one of the pieces. One of the pieces was leaked out, but never the whole combined final thing. And I remember they mentioned they were not confident with how. Yeah, it's somewhere. I think it's the last. If you go on TFW, I believe it's the last panel frame, if I remember correctly, that we sent to Tony Bacala. And as it stands right now, they're not happy with how the legs work. So they don't want to show something that's going to make people go, oh, that looks kind of weird. I don't want to go with it. So they want to make sure. But they still want to tease people. They want to show people something.
Well,
so,
Everyone got
to get close up and personal with it, just no photos. Yeah. You know?
I am ecstatic that we're getting a Dino King because, one, I'm not paying the going prices for a Dino King.
For a real one.
Which
has GPS problems.
Exactly.
Not Dino Kings. That's Monstructor only.
Yeah.
That's my name. Dino King
does not have GPS.
That's Gold Bank.
Yeah, hold on. That's just the main piece. One sec.
Yeah. But I am really looking forward to getting that Dino King. And Daniel, you could probably correct me or not, but when I saw that, what popped in my head was if you took Dino King's Japanese animation from Victory, but had it done in the style of Call of the Primitives.
Well,
that's kind of what I was thinking when I saw that Dino King.
Call of the Primitives was done by Obari.
Right. Oh, okay. Okay. I knew it was a Japanese studio did Call of the Primitives, but I couldn't keep. It wasn't Akon. I know that.
No, it was Tokyo. It was called Tokyo Studio Shusha or something like that.
Yeah.
That did Call of the Primitives, and Call of the Primitives originally was intended to be an episode that only aired in Japan. And it would be VHS exclusive for Japan, but it just ended up in the
regular rotation
of season three. So
pretty much, you know, if you weren't there and you're wondering what this Dino King we're talking about looks like, take Abominus and from that episode and input Dino King instead, and you'll have an idea. Yeah, so that's the way I was thinking of it.
I'm just going to show, like, just comparisons. I'm just going to pull out the Generation Guidebook so I can pull up the animation model I'll show you guys. So, one moment. Let me just find Monstructor to just show the differences here. Just give me a moment. That's okay. So,
but now we are getting shields.
Okay. In a chest like that, it wasn't very pronounced, very simple. And the Dino King model. Try that in there. See, it had the little spikes coming out of it. It was a lot more pronounced. That's Obari style, essentially. And it's staying a lot more true to Obari style, where everything's a lot more out there and a lot more detailed, and where if they would have done a Monstructor straight up, it doesn't have that pronounced chest.
Yeah.
And even in, I believe even when IDW did their Spotlight Optimus Prime, they were very true to the Monstructor toy design, so it didn't have that pronounced chest. So
now, are we getting shells with that? I've heard yes.
Unfortunately, that's what I actually asked when it got sent in the mail. We have no word on that yet. Okay. Because when I saw that, I was like, wouldn't it be great if it had Dino King shells with it? But no word yet. No word yet. There was very few information. That was something that was just really just an extra thank you from whatever company that was, just saying, could you please show this off?
Okay. You but know, yeah, that's something I think a lot of us would be keeping our eyes out for that one.
I will honestly say I was quite impressed how much we were able to gather, considering that we just did a third party panel less than 3 months ago. So, because that was one of my big concerns when we were doing this panel, was how much new stuff could we get between now and last TFCon.
Well, I'll tell you this: seeing the DX9 set in person for Evasion Prime. I ordered it. Yeah. Saturday night.
One yep. too many D's.
It takes a toy that's kind of okay and makes it kind of amazing.
Yeah.
Well, one of the things I was pretty excited about is the Battle Beasts.
Oh, yeah. The combat creatures from the guy, it's a sister company with the guys who did BMOG. They sent us a whole bunch of those. I have to ship those back, actually. That's why I had them here still. They're in the bubble wrap. Those are pretty awesome. That's because Battle Beast was one of those things that it just couldn't get its footing. Like Hasbro sold the license to Minimates, not Art Asylum, but whatever is the company that does Minimates. And they kind of ran with it, and it just died very quickly. And then Beast Saga came out in Japan, and that ran its course. It had a 52-episode anime and a toy line, and then that kind of tanked because it didn't do well. So now that those two are out of the way, now those guys kind of want to do their own Battle Beast thing, and they look incredible. And we actually had those in the display also, so the people who did get to see it. And I'm pretty excited about those.
And
I'm a big fan of Battle Beasts also.
And also there was the Play With This 2
yeah.
kind of sort of pretender.
It was more than just Transformer IPs. It's like it had pretenders from Transformers. It had designs from other toy lines, like
Vitor.
The guy who turns into Octopunch before kind of looked like Cyborg from Teen Titans. And then you had
there's also a little bit of a Centurion vibe coming from
Centurions. There was also a bunch of head sculpts. That, like one, if anyone's familiar with Ren and Stimpy, Mr. Horse was one of those.
They're referring to those as the headshots.
Yeah. Needless to say, according to Aaron Archer and Rick Alvarez, they're pretty much trying to do every kind of thing that they like and kind of interplay that into one toy line where it's like, oh, I really liked Botsmaster, or I really liked King Arthur and the Knights of Justice, or they were just doing any obscure toy lines that are kind of, we'll call them stale IPs, and just trying to do something with it and have fun with it.
Well, hopefully they'll do some with SWAT Cats then.
Oh, who knows? That's just it, yeah. Like, but that's their main target, is they're just going for anything that's really been quiet throughout the years. And they said that February, when the Toy Fair happens, New York Toy Fair, that's going to be their big, like, coming out reveal, that they're going to have, like, a whole bunch of stuff there. They're going to march in with their own booth and stuff. So should be really interesting, especially considering they're going to be, like, with the likes of Hasbro and Mattel and everything, which where their IPs are kind of coming from. So
But I mean, you got Rick, you got Aaron, and you've got Simon Furman all working on the same.
And even more, according to their panel that they did on the Sunday, they said they have even more guys that are going to come forward, which are former Hasbro employees. So it should be interesting to the least, you know. Pretty interesting.
And I have a lap full of cats, so I can't move much.
Our mascot, right?
Yes, our mascot.
See, Nate demanded full benefits.
You mentioned play with this too. I'm sure we're going to hear more about them. I know that they're going to announce some more. I'm not going to say members, but people that are associated with their company. So I'm sure that's going to be something that we will definitely be talking about in the future. But
and we have tonight, we have a really good relationship with Aaron Archer now. Like since recent development, he's kind of become like now it's going to be a staple at TFCon. It seems like it's like he has a good soapbox to stand on and talk about his stuff with our show. And so, I mean, when he did Toronto, he was like very eager to then do Chicago and then return back to Toronto when that comes. So right. More to hear from him in the future. Through our show.
As we get closer to his toy revealing and such, I've personally been staying in contact with him. We're going to be trying to get him on the show once again.
He's a very open person to this kind of stuff.
Absolutely. I don't know if he told you, Plasticon or not, but he approached me and told me that yes, that's going to be definitely in the works. So with his announcements and the new toys that they have coming along. So they're very, very fan friendly with the shows and the announcements. So right. Definitely going to hear a lot more from them.
Yes. Like I said, I mean, I was actually talking to him a couple of days ago about a lot of stuff, some stuff that I can't really say on air. I can talk to you guys about later, but, yes, he's a great guy, and we are eager to hear more about his toy line because his toy line's got quite a few of us excited. Especially with the
I'll give him credit. He's a very patient individual, Aaron Archer, and I give him a lot of credit for that because dealing with a lot of the fandom throughout the years, some of them could be quite trying, and it was quite interesting to see him in Toronto, how he would field any question shot at him from any walk of life, and really cool guy, so look forward to see more from him.
Absolutely. All right, we got anything else for our topic tonight? TFCon wrap-up, experiences, exclusives, behind the scenes, anything? Anything to add to that? Bryce, I'm too cheap to go. Whatever.
I guess I can add, because I know some people seen me post a picture. I did have a slight incident leaving Chicago. I hit a manhole, not the hole in Jackie's oil pan. I do have parts.
You hit a man.
I hit a manhole.
Oh, I thought you said a whole man. Wow.
Man-whore.
Not the hole in my oil pan.
Bryce, we're not talking about you, man-whore.
I am working on getting that repaired. I actually have the parts on order. Hopefully I can get that done. And
pretty easy job.
My way to, yeah. I looked on the under.
You're lucky it essentially was the lower half of his oil pan that got ruptured from hitting something, which I guess the car is already lower to begin with. I work on BMWs for a living, so like essentially it's just going to be now all the listeners are going to be like, oh boy, this is going to be boring talk. 10 millimeter bolts all over the place, gasket steel, and you're good to go. Eventually, right. You can even do the job yourself.
It's not difficult. I've got a buddy of mine that lives across the street. He has a maintenance trailer. We're going to pull up on that, so that way we can actually get under it a lot easier.
There you go. Wait a minute.
Now, for everyone else in the normal world, I heard a whole man hit in the lower half. I don't know about anyone else, but that's what I heard. All right? That's what I got out of that whole conversation. And that's funny shit right there. So anyway, regardless of all that, anyone got anything else to add about the show this weekend? Wonderful turnout, wonderful show.
Great show, great numbers, great exclusives, great people, great location, great hotel room, at least for me. Man, I did not expect the hotel room that I had. Like, I think our head of staff screwed up. I got such an amazing hotel room. How many times could you say you were in a hotel room that had two floors? You know, like.
Yeah, but the only thing that upsets me is you didn't invite everyone up for like
a party. I honestly did not know. You know, like it was just like, wow. You know what? I just had a great time just hanging out with everybody.
I'm just thinking next time.
Oh, next time. Well, I hope we have a hotel room like that next time. I really do.
Well, then don't let him know.
I want to give a big shout out to my roommates Joshua Perez, Wendell James, Jaws D, who I do this Canadian Swag podcast with. Just had an amazing time, and you know all that time sitting in a car for 8 hours to get there was totally worth it. You know, totally was worth it. Made it all worthwhile, and it's thanks to the fans for showing up. You know, and then giving their support.
Well, that's what it's always about.
Yeah.
That's what it's mainly about.
Yeah.
So it kept us afloat all these years. I guess that's it.
And we'll continue to do still.
All right. Well, I think that's about it. We had Mike Boyle just posted that he had a great time. He said, one of the best run cons I've gone to. And I know him, and he's gone to BotCon, he's gone to DairyCon. So coming from him, Mike, I appreciate the comment, and I'm sure Daniel does also, because for someone that goes to a lot of cons to say that it was put together really well is definitely a compliment. So with that, I think we're done tonight. Plasticon, you got anything?
About all I got. I'll end up having some more footage put up later on throughout the week on my YouTube, plasticonstudios.com, if you guys want to know my actual website. I will try to get the audio version of this up for our audio listeners later on as soon as I possibly can. I got to download, encode, all the happy stuff. So there will be a different edit of this thing up where I'll actually have the bumpers up because I can't do it because internet connection sucks. Sorry. But all should be good.
All right. So technically, technical blah, 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 blah that I don't understand.
Technical blah, 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 blah coming from me because, you know, I'm technical.
Gotcha. And Master Don, anything?
I'm good, man. Just a good show, a lot of fun.
Do you have anything to add?
No, he's looking out the window at something. So
we miss you, Proto Man.
Don't worry, we're only how many months away from TFCon Toronto? 8.
And speaking of which, Proto Man, do you have anything to add?
Nothing I can say. Well, next show by the TFCon crew is going to be – oh, geez, I just had that written down. One sec.
See, you missed your plug. What the hell?
It's all written down. Our Action Figure Expo in Toronto is going to be February 1st, 2015. It's a post-Christmas show because we feel that doing a show during Christmas actually doesn't do well. So February 1st, 2015, Action Figure Expo. If you're someone in the Quebec, Montreal area, there's the Montreal Toy Con, which is going to be November 16th on a Sunday. And that's all I can really say in terms of conventions that are going to be coming up in the next 2-4 months.
So Halloween. Far. But we should always, you know, keep checking because new shows will be posted, correct?
Of course. Of course.
Absolutely.
I got a list here.
Hey, Daniel, one thing I just thought of this. I'm not sure if it'll do any good or not. I don't know if I'll be able to go to TFCon Canada.
Okay.
Again, I don't know if I'll be able to go or not. But being someone who's never traveled outside of the United States, I don't know what I would need to do to go to a show in Canada.
The only thing you would need is a passport.
There you go.
And Brett could attest for both of those two things. Number one, a passport, and number two, no criminal record. That's it.
Well, I had one and two.
I mean, come on, give me a break.
I was just going to say that you said that Michelle lives in the U.S.
Oh, here we go again about the hookup. The hookup.
Anyways, you were saying, Doug?
Don. No, what I was saying is, Maybe she could do I'm just thinking out loud here. Since she travels back and forth with TFCon, maybe if she did a list of things when the TFCon Chicago stuff goes up, things that – what are you doing?
I'm not doing anything. I don't know what you're talking about.
So anyway, I'm just saying since she travels back and forth across the border, that may be a good thing for her to post a list of things, do's and don'ts while – traveling across the border, things you need that you might not. That way, if there's a checklist for someone new from the U.S. who went to TFCon Chicago, who wants to go to the Canada show, they've got something to go by to know what to do.
We've addressed this quite a few times because, I mean, even as Canadians, we cross the border back and forth a billion times just because we all have to live on the border to begin with. Anyways, number one, passport, be sure to get it early. And I believe the new passports now last 10 years. They used to last at least 5.
They're 10 years, but you do it takes anywhere up to 6 months.
Yeah, that's why. Yeah, so, yeah. Like if you're thinking about it, get it now. And it's just a good thing to have.
They're $100.
But what
they're $100, and they last 10 years.
Yeah, but that's just it. So it just would be great to just get a passport to begin with because a lot of people I would talk to in the States just don't even have one at all. The United States is a big, beautiful country, tons of different places you could go. Canada, we're all on the border, so we always make plans to go south. I think that's kind of a thing. It's a staple to have a passport, but a lot of Americans don't. Exactly. So
it's fun, someone that's gone to Canada and back and forth. It's interesting. It really is. You will have fun. It is a different atmosphere.
If you like, because you're going to conventions like that where you're gone for 3 days essentially, when you enter the country, they ask you a million questions. What are you doing there? You bring in the alcohol, you know, cigarettes, blah blah blah. When you're coming back, they don't bug you as much because they see in the computer, you know, by your information that you've been gone for 3 days or 5 days, you've clearly spent money in the country, probably got a hotel, probably got food. So they're happy that you've spent money, that they don't give you a hard time when you're on your way back. And there's not much else besides that. We are the most unprotected border, the longest unprotected border in the world. No one has the border.
I would agree with that. I heard so many horror stories before I went, and I mean, I'm not by any means am I a veteran. I've only gone twice now, but both times, nothing. Yeah, they ask you some questions. You stand, you drive in a line because of course they got to ask you the questions, and then you go. It's as simple as that.
You. They're out to get the one guy that's trying to bring cocaine into the country. Yeah, exactly. Either it's to Canada or away from Canada. And the funny thing is, when we came back on the Monday, we got to the border and they were like, where are you returning from? Or like Chicago, what were you returning? You know, they just have to make small talk too. Why are you returning? We went to a Transformers convention. And right away there, they're just like, they lower their head, they maybe shake it once or twice, and then it's like, all right, just move along. You know, right away you're harmless to them.
That's not what they're looking for.
Yeah, so, and it's the reality. Be honest with them. Don't hide the fact that you're going to a Transformer convention. If anything, it helps you out. I used to travel with a guy, Jay Alvatron Meesum, and he used to have a giant Autobot logo on the hood of his car. So needless to say, going to BotCons by car, we had no problems at the border telling our story. You know, so.
Right, exactly. So it's interesting. It's fun. It's another show, a really good, well-organized show to go to. Don't let the fact that you got to go across the border prevent you from going to it.
Yep, and we have a water slide.
And you have a water slide.
It's awesome.
That's the other thing. You have a great it's a great hotel.
Yeah, the location, that's one thing. That's one thing I will I wish that the Chicago one had. The hotel we have because we've been there for so long, it is like it's a symbiote. It just is totally one with the convention. The whole hotel is TFCon that weekend. And it's the bar, the waitresses, the staff, the lobby, the bathrooms, the bar menu is Transformers. Yes. You know, everything. That's why Toronto, we call it TFCon Prime now. That's what we have to call it. Because
you're talking about you just started the other one.
We'll see. We'll see where it goes from there. We're going to get used to the system of how things work. Exactly. And obviously, just like anything else, you perfect it as you get better.
All right. So the one guy that didn't show up, Mr. Cheap Ass, what do you got to say?
I'd rather go to the Toronto one anyway.
Anyway, on that note, I don't think we have anything else to say.
Nope.
TFCon Chicago. There you go. That's what we had. That's what we did. Everyone had a great time except for Bryce. He was too cheap to go. So it was all around a big success. Wouldn't you say so, Daniel?
Oh, yeah. Without question. It was a success before the first person walked into the deal room. It was already looking great.
I just thought you were going to say that because I showed up, but that's
no, okay. That too.
We'll take that too.
No, it was a success in spite of that.
Listen, Massey, you take care of that guy. Oh, never mind. All right. On that note, what can I say? Another TFYLP episode. We covered it. I can't think of anything else to say. So. Catch us next time. Alrighty.
Later.
This has been Transformers for Your Listening Pleasure, a presentation of TFTalk.net. We'd like to thank you for listening and ask that you please rate us on your favorite podcast outlet and share us with your friends. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at TFYLP. Email us at podcast@TFYLP.com. This is Paul Lighting, and on behalf of TFYLP, we'd like to thank you again for listening. And we hope you'll join us next time for another TFYLP.